Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Jim Little. Jim's the administrator of the Farm Service Agency at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And joining us on our conversation is Mike Wasson.
Thank you, Paul. Hey, Jim, it's been 2 years since the Farm Bill of 2002 was signed. What has been the impact of this bill on FSA?
Well, that's a really good question, because I would have to say in my entire career, that's been the biggest challenge of my life, to be responsible for helping implement a program of that magnitude. The Farm Service Agency and the Commodity Credit Corporation probably had the biggest role to play in all of the Department of Agriculture to implement the Farm Bill. We had multiple new programs to implement, requiring tens of millions of dollars of new programming and doctoring up the program that we had in place. We had to develop interfaces to our legacy systems using old COBOL programming to actually implement the Farm Bill. It was a multifaceted Farm Bill. It's considered the most complicated in history, and we had to put it in place in a record period of time. It was passed in May of 2002. We had payments going out in early September and October of that year. It was an extremely good benefit for our farmers because it put money into the hands of our farmers as quickly as humanly possible, basically. But since the Farm Bill was put into place, we put out over $20 billion in payments. Under the new programs, we had a new milk program to help compensate for low prices for milk. We had a peanut buyout quota program, which put out about $1.2 billion, and we had direct and countercyclical payments that had to go out under a new program. So in total, we put out well over $20 billion. We also put out several billion dollars in a conservation reserve program payment. But basically, since that program was put into place, we've had some really good improvements, the way we look at it, in terms of the economy. Farm income is now at record levels, and our programs did have an impact on it. Although the competition within the world and the new demands for our commodities has helped in those record levels, our program payments also helped do that. In 2003, net cash farm income was $63 billion, and that's an 11.5% increase over 2000. Farm product sales, they're expected to surpass a record $215 billion in 2004. And farmers' equity reached a record $1.16 trillion last year, putting agriculture in the best financial health ever. So we think the Farm Bill really did have an impact on helping improve rural life and helping farmers. One of the additional things that the Farm Bill did was to increase conservation efforts across the country. Since the Farm Bill was passed, we've increased conservation funding by 80%. In total, the 2002 Farm Bill committed $17 billion in funding for wildlife, forestry, grasslands, farmland preservation, and working lands conservation. I mean, it's just a tremendous program. Since 1986, the conservation program, which is one of our premier conservation programs at the department that Farm Service Agency administers, we've increased the benefits for wildlife. We've seen erosion decreased by 40%. It's improved water quality. So, I mean, that was one of the programs that the 2002 Farm Bill provided additional emphasis on. Since the Farm Bill was passed, we've also increased exports for our agricultural commodities. And this is bolstering farm income, that I already mentioned, is at all-time highs.
You talked about the different areas that the FSA is involved in, and I'd like to talk more about them. In preparing for this, I noticed a couple areas that you're involved in. Farm loans, price supports, you mentioned conservation, and commodity operations. Let's pick apart a couple of these and learn more about them. Could you tell us about the types of farm loans that are available?
Okay, we have four different areas of farm loans, primarily four different areas, and about $4 billion in funding each year. These are appropriated amounts. We have some specific. We provide these loans and loan guarantees to thousands of our farmers and ranchers, and these ranchers come to us because they're unable to obtain private commercial credit. So we're talking about farmers who are having a tough time making it in farming. So we're really encouraging beginning farmers to come to our doors if they can't make it in commercial lending. We're encouraging our minorities and socially disadvantaged farmers to come into our offices. In general, we've made about $700 million to beginning farmers recently in a given year. We've also provided $300 million to nearly 3,400 ethnic and women farmers. So we really are doing as good a job as we can to reach out to those beginning farmers and the socially disadvantaged farmers who need help. We also have special loan programs for youth loans. You probably didn't realize it, but when you see kids with a a sheep in the 4-H club, they might have come to the Farm Service Agency to get money, to borrow money, provide an incentive for kids to get into farming. So our loan programs are really unique in that they are targeted to a part of our society that is having a difficult go of it. And we're really proud of the work that we're able to do to keep people in farming, particularly in those categories that I just mentioned.
One thing I know that people are very interested in, and I'm curious about too, is price supports. Can you talk to us more about what's a price support and how does it help farmers manage their business?
Okay, well, price support comes in a variety of shapes and sizes, you might say. The real cornerstone under the 2002 Farm Bill provides for direct and countercyclical payments. And their primary purpose is to help farmers maintain a sustainable income level. These direct payments, they're paid out annually in installments at the same rate basically every year. We also have what we call a countercyclical payment that kicks in only when the average commodity market prices for the year are lower than are projected in the Farm Bill. So these countercyclical payments really are a supplement if the market prices are very low. But we also provide what we call marketing loans to help farmers market their products at harvest. When harvest comes, they'll actually come in to us to tide them over until they're able to sell their product, and then they reimburse the loan by paying us. And if they don't get the price that they want, they can turn the commodity over to us. So FSA would hold the collateral, and we would become the owners of the commodities. That doesn't happen all that often in our mainstream commodities, although it does happen with milk, and it also happens with sugar on occasion, and those are sort of different programs. One of the farmers, in lieu of taking one of these marketing loans, they could also gamble that prices are going to be high when they're ready to sell their product, and if the prices aren't quite as high as they thought they would be or what the Farm Bill said that they was the target price, we could give them what we call a loan deficiency payment. But all of these payments are designed to help farmers keep a relatively stable level of income, and they've been very effective.
Farmers provide a lot of support towards the conservation of our land. What type of incentives does this FSA provide to the farmers?
Well, the primary program that we have is the Conservation Reserve Program, and it's the largest conservation program on private lands in the country. Currently, we have about 34.8 acres that are in the conservation program. We have a target of about 39.2 million acres between now and the end of the Farm Bill, which is in about 2008. But what these programs do is encourages farmers to take environmentally sensitive land that's currently in cropland and take them out of cropping and put them into conservation measures. Farm Service Agency and Commodity Credit Corporation will actually enter into a contract of 10 to 15 years. We'll help them pay through a cost share program to plant native grasses, buffer strips, trees, or other conservation measures alongside croplands mostly. We also encourage putting in riparian strips and buffers alongside rivers and streams to help keep sediments from going into the rivers, helping improve our water supply. And it also provides a really good habitat for birds and other wildlife. The president just last week put in a really good pitch for the Farm Service Agency and these conservation reserve programs by committing an additional 250,000 acres to encourage the establishment of habitat for bobwhite quail. You might not realize it, that the bobwhite quail population has decreased significantly over the last couple decades, and this program is going to help establish habitat in 250,000 acres and the establishment of about 750,000 new quail, particularly in the southeast and the Midwest areas. He also announced an additional program that's going to encourage the reestablishment of wetlands, particularly in the prairie states and what they call playa lakes in Texas and Oklahoma. So the president is keenly aware of this program and is keenly in tune with installing conservation throughout the country. And this program is really there to help achieve those goals that we've set.
Let's talk about how the FSA delivers this program. As I understand it, it's somewhat unique because the delivery of the many services is done through grassroots networks. Could you explain these networks and how they're used?
Yeah, we call them grassroots networks. What they are is we have offices in over 2,300 counties throughout the country. Back in 1936, the Congress established what we call county committees in each one of these county areas. They're not really county offices per se, but these are county areas where farmers nominate farmers to help run the programs within the rural areas. What they do is help administer the programs at the grassroots level. So national policies are made in Washington, and those policies are sent down to the states, and the states in turn put the responsibility onto the counties to actually administer the programs at those levels. So these county committees help develop the manner in which those programs are going to be run. This grassroots approach gives farmers a say in how federal actions affect their communities and their individual operations. And one of the things that we're really trying to focus on, especially this year, is to increase the involvement in those local communities with minorities. Historically, we've had very low representation on these committees with minorities and socially disadvantaged. So the Secretary is reaching out to a lot of community-based organizations in an effort to get more minorities nominated on the board so that they can actually be elected.
It's very interesting. How is e-government affecting farmers? We'll ask Jim Little, administrator of the Farm Service Agency, to give us his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.